To-do lists. They can be very helpful, especially near the end of a school year. Finish report, take makeup test, study for finals. Such activities of a purely temporal and earthly nature can quickly fill up a to-do list. And that's not wrong. We all have responsibilities, and writing them down can help us remember to get them done. What is unfortunate, however, is the tendency to put items such as this on our to-do lists at the exclusion of far more important activities, activities which have spiritual and eternal ramifications. As a result, our Lord, who truly knows how to get things done and done well, has written for us a to-do list which sets forth activities which will achieve the greatest good. And the plan for today's chapel address is to highlight just one of the items on his list, which is to be a priority in the living of our daily lives. Actually, there are a few Bible lists which could be referenced, each one of which begins and even ends with the same to-do. If you happen to have a copy of the Lutheran hymnal nearby, you could turn to pages 156 and 157. On those pages, you'll see that the first item on the divine to-do list, which is also known as Psalm 146, is Praise ye the Lord. The last item on the list is the same, Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 1 reads, Praise ye the Lord, and its last verse also directs, Praise ye the Lord. The first verse of Psalm 148, Praise ye the Lord. The last verse of Psalm 148, Praise ye the Lord. If Psalm 149 had been included by the editors of the hymnal, you'd see that the first and last verses of that psalm also read, Praise ye the Lord. And of course, the concluding psalm of the entire collection begins with, Praise ye the Lord, and ends with, Praise ye the Lord. Clearly, the praise of the Lord is to be front and center. But for whom is that to be the case? For what reason are we to praise? Where and how is such praise to take place? Succinct Psalm 150 provides the answers. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If it breathes, it has been blessed. If it breathes, it has been created by the Creator, and as such it is obligated to give glory, thanks, and praise to the one who reigns supreme. Notice how Psalm 148 even mentions the animal kingdom. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And if animals, how much more we human beings? But why? Why are we to offer daily praise to the Lord? For the same reason that anyone ever lauds or applauds another. When praise is deserved for something above and beyond. And of course, the Lord is the most deserving of all. Stacking up lofty words to underscore the point, the psalmist speaks of God's mighty acts as well as his excellent greatness. We truly are surrounded. The mighty acts of God are in evidence everywhere, from the raising of the sun to the ordering of nature, to the providing of our food, to the keeping of the peace. The one who has given us breath surrounds us with things that should take our breath away. And even greater than the mighty acts found in nature is the mighty act that was carried out on Calvary's cross and 3 days later. For there he atoned for our sins, and on Easter morning he took on the foe of death itself and stripped it of its power. It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life, the reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. His sting is lost forever, hallelujah, wrote Martin Luther in his Easter hymn. No other reason is needed, and no greater reason could be given for praising God than that which is found in his conquering of death on our behalf. So then, where? Where should such praise of the Savior take place? Simply, everywhere. Psalm 150 starts by speaking about God's praising God in his sanctuary, which was initially perhaps a reference to the temple. And it is proper to think of praising the Lord when we are assembled in the house of God. But it also speaks of the entire firmament, the heavens, the great expanse of the sky. We should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise our Savior for the amazing grace he has shown us. How, then, should this be done? A Christian who is perfectly willing to praise the Lord might not feel all that confident as to how to go about doing so. But it's really as simple as opening one's mouth and letting one's faith speak. Praise is primarily offered in verbal form. Miriam, Hannah, David, Mary opened their mouths when they praised God for his mighty acts. They simply enumerated the many blessings which they observed and had received, speaking also of the great and gracious attributes of God. And an easy springboard for us to use in getting started can be found in various Psalms, such as 146, on these same pages. Watch how easy praise becomes when one gives back to God what he has given us in his word. Replacing the Lord and which with you, we have, you made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is therein. You keep truth forever. You execute judgment for the oppressed. You give food to the hungry. You free the prisoners. You open the eyes of the blind. Most often, perhaps, such words of praise are combined with music and sung, which is also in keeping with the will of the Savior. Throughout the book of Psalms, there are specific directives to sing to the Lord and make a joyful noise to him. The first verse of Psalm 147, for example, says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely," that is, beautiful. The human voice is the most amazing of all musical instruments, for God has given it the ability to combine music and words and to present them simultaneously. But it is not the only musical instrument, a point well advanced by the final psalm. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. When the heart of a believer is behind the playing of an instrument and is playing that instrument in praise of music's maker, then even music without words is capable of praising the Creator. To-do lists, they're helpful, especially when they're written out for us by God himself. And that which tops his list is praise. Having given us more than enough reason to praise him, he has now given us his Spirit to enable such praise, all of which is for our own benefit, for the strengthening of our faith and the comforting of our hearts. Praising the Lord, it's a great thing the Lord has given us to do today.
The hymn selected for this morning's chapel address is hymn 39 from the Lutheran hymnal.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song. Stand forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen desires all have been granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee. Health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved thee. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief? Rings of his mercy did shake thee. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of his mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. And breath come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for they we